Let's take our Bibles and turn back to the book of Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8. We remember the passage of Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for instruction, for correction, righteousness. It's God-breathed, and we need every word of God, every word. Now, I want us to look, and basically, I would say that this passage that we're going to deal with describes the way in which the Lord was pleased to cause the earth to return to its former state of existence before the flood. We looked at verse 1 last time, and God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. Now, we're going to consider these months that took place. And we won't cover all the time that Noah stayed in the ark, but we're going to cover these first few months after the water has stopped flowing. The scripture says in verses 2 and 3, the fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters returned from the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. Now, the wrath of God against the wickedness and rebellion of men has been poured forth. The Lord has destroyed all life except that which was found within the ark. And the scripture declares that Noah being shut in by the Lord, now the scripture says that the fountains also of the deep, the water burst forth out of the earth. There were water under the earth, and it burst forth, and the scriptures declared that the fountains of the deep, the spring or the source of the water that came forth from the earth was stopped. And the windows of heaven were stopped. The openings in the sky were made to surrender to the command of the Lord. You remember when the Lord spoke to the wind and to the waves, and his disciples marveled. What manner of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey. And God stopped them. And it says the windows of heaven were stopped and the rain from heaven was restrained. Now, that rain that fell, it was restricted, and it began to go back. But the Lord had told Noah in Genesis chapter 7, verse 4, for yet 7 days and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Now, that word rain, it's a very amazing thing. You know, we see the word rain and we think rain. It's rain. Well, it was rain. But this particular word rain, and we're going to see the other word in just a minute here, but this particular word rain, it means to pour down from heaven in great abundance. Whenever that word there rain, it's like when God caused it to rain brimstone and fire upon Sodom and Gomorrah, and as he rained a grievous hail upon Egypt in the plague. So this rain that God said, I'm going to cause it to rain, this wasn't an ordinary rain. We were going to Lexington or Danville the other day, and off the horizon I can see it get real black. And so I just kind of looked on my phone there to see what was going on. And I mean to tell you, there wasn't a big, wasn't a great big sale, but it was a pretty sizable rain sale, thunderstorm sale, and it was moving north to south, and I'm going west. And so it's coming, and it's going to move right in front. Well, I was hoping that I could miss it, because it was black. And I'm telling you, we got into that thing, and I don't remember ever seeing it rain like this. I would dare say I could have seen Barron if it was that far ahead of the car. We were just down to, 40, 45 miles an hour. Cars pulled off the side of the road. Unbelievable rain. This was torrential rain, the Lord had told. I'm going to cause it to rain. And the scripture says in verse 2, and the rain from heaven was restrained. God held it back. And when the Lord was pleased to shut up the windows of heaven and to restrain the rain, it became more as a shower. That's what it says. And the rain from heaven was restrained. That's what it meant. It went from a torrential downpour to a shower. And the waters began to go back to their state. So God's affliction, like his word, it accomplishes its purpose. God had told Noah, I'm going to cause it to rain on this earth. And what he meant was, it's going to pour forth like you've never seen it pour forth. It never rained before. You're going to see rain now. And so now the scriptures has declared that the waters now are beginning to return, verse 3. And it says in verse 4, and the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. Now here we have the effect of the restrained water. That water is a picture. It was a picture of God's judgment. And the ark, being a picture of Christ, and those within the ark, a picture of the church, the ark now rested. And it rested in a very significant place. It rested upon the mountains of Ararat. It was a mountain range, is what it was. And it rested, that is, it took its rest. The word even means it drew a breath. It had gone through that flood, and it rested upon Ararat. Now, when you look up, and if anybody would like to look this up, it's found in the Blue Letter Bible, which is a very, very good source. The name Ararat means the curse reversed. That's what Ararat means, the curse reversed. So the ark, according to the good providence of God, was no longer moving. It was rested. It rested upon this place. It was still water, but the boat was down, and it hit the mountain, and it's resting. The water's all around, and it's resting upon this mountain with that flood still around. Now the Lord, and here's where we're going to learn something. The Lord provides for his people. Now they're in that ark. That ark in a picture of the Lord. God's people are in Christ, but we're in this world too. And we're going through trials and tribulations and tossings in this life and places of chastisement. But in the midst of all of these trials and temptations, we're resting. It rested on the curse reversed. God has provided a place. The Lord never promised that we'd be free from troubles, but he's promised that we have rest in the midst of our troubles. So just imagine, this ark has just been moved by the good providence of God, and Almighty God put that ark right on the spot that meant the curse reversed, and it rested. It's sitting now on on a mountain range. And the scripture declares that God's people rest. The scripture says in John 16:33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." So we will have trials, we're going to have tribulations and trouble, but we are not without His comfort and rest. Noah was still in the boat. The water's all around. But Noah was in Christ. So the Apostle Paul in Acts 9:29-31, he set forth after his conversion. You may turn there. Acts 9:29-31. Speaking of the rest of God's people. Acts 9:29. The scripture says, "And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians. But they went about to slay him, which when the people, when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galatia and Samaria, and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied." So, brethren, you know this. We go through trials and tribulations. We go through troubles. The Lord's promised that we will. We're not going to be free. He's going to chasten His people. We're being taught of His faithfulness. If you're without chastisement, it's because we're none of His. So we're taught here. The flood of God's wrath was all around. But Noah was in the ark, tossed and tried, and I'm sure that he was a man, but a man that believed God. And the Lord has placed him in this place. So whenever we see the judgment of God being poured out and we're suffering just as Noah did, remember, the word of God is sure. And verse 5, "And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen." Now, here is an amazing truth that's going to continue now through these next few verses, through verse 12, as we look at. Here's a truth that is consistent for all of God's people in these scriptures. Now listen to this. "The just shall live by faith." The just shall live by faith. That ark has rested on top of that mountain range. The waters are receding. The scripture says in this fifth verse, the waters decrease continually until that 10th month, in the 10th month, first day of the month, the tops of the mountains are being seen. Now, the scripture declares that Noah is aware that the waters are going down. He entered the ark by God's command, and the Lord sustained him throughout the flood, through that deluge. It rested upon the mountains of Ararat, and now Noah has, after it rested, he has stayed in that ark, according to these dates here, for about 2.5 months. He's in the ark on top of the mountain range of Ararat. And the tops of the mountains are visible. It was obvious what was happening. All of these places, I thought about the tops of the mountains are seen. Noah is now seeing all these places of false refuge. Like I said last time, I could just imagine people just scampering, trying to get up, 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 up. The water's coming up. And everybody's trying to get to the mountain. Now listen, eventually it's not going to hold anybody, and eventually it won't hold anybody. But that was the last places of any hope of refuge outside of the ark. And it proved to be no refuge at all. And now they're starting to be seen again. And Noah's aware. But the Lord has been pleased to keep Noah inside the ark after it rested 2.5 months. Why? Why? Noah's faith is going to be tried. Isaiah 28:16. He that believeth shall not make haste. Those that have been made to wait upon the Lord shall not be in a hurry. That's what the word haste means. You remember when Sarah and Abraham was told, God told Abraham, Sarah is going to have a son by you, about this time next year. And the scripture says that Sarah inside the tent laughed within herself. The Lord asked, why? Why did Sarah laugh? She said, I didn't laugh. She laughed in her heart. And God heard her. Well, in the process of time, you know what happened. Sarah told Abraham, surely the Lord meant that you should take my handmaid Hagar and have a son by her. And that's what he did. And obviously, that wasn't the son of promise. And they didn't wait. They didn't wait on God. Now listen. The Lord's timing is right. It's always right. It's always perfect. Isaiah 30:18. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. God's way is to make his people wait. Have you ever noticed that? His way to show his mercy and prove the faith of his people and the faithfulness of God is to make them wait. How many times do we see in the scriptures, wait on the Lord, wait, wait on the Lord. I'm going to read verses 6 to 12 and then we'll comment on this. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made, and he sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her, pulled her in unto him into the ark, and he stayed yet another 7 days. And again he sent forth the dove out of the ark, and the dove came in to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off, so Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet another 7 days, and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him any more. Now, 40 days, that number that we've looked at, 40 days after resting on Ararat, that time of trial and proving of Noah's faith. God had given him faith. He believed God. But he's in that ark, and he's going to have to wait. Why? Because the Lord has not told him to come out of the ark. I just turn over. Lord willing, I'll deal with this next time. Look at verse 15 of chapter 8. Verse 15. And God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Until the Lord spoke and told him, you may now exit. 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 The ark. Noah stayed in that ark. That that place of security, safety. And what Noah did was he wanted to see, God was going to teach him something through two birds. Well, we're going to learn something through these two birds too. Noah sends forth an unclean bird. He sent forth a raven. That's what scripture says. Came to pass, verse 6, Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made and sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. A raven is one, it's an unclean bird. It's a bird of prey that feasts upon the decaying flesh of dead animals. They eat garbage. That's what a raven. They eat garbage. And it went to and fro until the waters were dried up. It never said that it came back into the ark. Now, very, very specific to look exactly what that bird did. The raven did. The dove did. The dove came back in. Noah reached out to the dove in. The raven, it went to and fro, but it never was said to come back into the ark. It may have come back and landed on top of the ark, but it continued flying over the receding waters, living on the rot of creation that had been destroyed until it was not even necessary to even return to the ark, to land on the ark. So the raven is an unclean bird. It was found in the ark, but when it went out, it never came back into the ark. The raven here is a picture. It's a spiritual picture of those that are among the people of God, but they're not of the people of God. That inside that ark, there was a family. There was one of Adam's sons, Ham, that was cursed of God. And that bird was a picture of those found among the people of God. They're tares. The scripture declares there's always tares among the wheat. They went out from us because they were not of us. For had they been of us, surely they would have remained with us, but they went out that it might be made manifest that they were not of us. So here was a bird, a raven, an uncleaned animal, and it was sent out to go around and surely it found a place to set. It may have found it. It was sitting on top of a rotting carcass. There was something out there. The dove we're going to look at in just a minute, it found no place to rest its foot. There was nothing out there to rest its foot on. It never did. So it came back. But here is that raven. It's a picture of the old man, that old nature that's common to all men. It's born in Adam, that nature that wars against the spirit. The raven was an unclean animal. And so Noah then sent out, verse 8, said he sent out a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the earth. Like I said, that raven could go out there and find something floating. Just rest on that, feast on that, enjoy that. It could find a place that it'll find something for it to eat. But now here goes a dove. He sent forth a dove to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the earth. But the dove, verse 9, found no rest. It found no rest. It found no rest for the sole of her foot. Obviously, the raven did. It found a place I can rest in this, raven said. I can rest on this rotten cow or whatever was out there floating. But that dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. And she returned unto him into the ark. God's people find no rest for their, they can't rest anywhere except in Christ. That's the only place. So that dove sets forth God's people, God's elect, those regenerated by the grace of God. Listen to this. Song of Solomon 5:2. You know, this is where the Lord had knocked and he said, open to me. And scripture says the bride speaks back. And she says, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It's the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. That dove sets forth God's people that know him, know his voice. They're known of him. They follow him. The scripture says in Song of Solomon 2:14, the Lord speaking, O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. So here's a dove sent forth from Noah, a picture of those that are clean. They're clean. They're washed clean before God in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Song of Solomon 6:9 says, my dove, my undefiled, is but one of his affection. She's one of his affection. She's the only one of her mother. She's the choice one of her that bare her. So the Lord is setting forth in these two birds. Here's the two natures. Got an old nature, new nature. Old man, new man. An old man that can feast on the dregs of this world and its false religion. That rot. That does, there's no sustenance to it. There's no, but this dove, it finds no place to rest its foot except in Christ coming back. So that dove would go forth. The Lord told his people, he said, be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So that dove, finding no rest anywhere else, could do nothing in her heart but come back to Noah, the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture says, Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. So that dove in verse 9 that had the toilsome task of flying to see if the waters were yet upon the earth, it found no rest except when Noah put forth his hand. That's what he said in verse 9. The dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. She returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. And it was like that when the raven was there. But he put forth his hand and took her, pulled her in unto him in the ark. So here's a picture. Our Lord, he's not going to leave us alone. He won't forsake us. Then verse 10 and 11. And he stayed yet other 7 days. And again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came in to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. 7 days that dove was sent out again. And it returned this time, and it had something in her mouth. It had an olive leaf that had been plucked off. There was an evidence of the peace that God had sent upon the earth for those who found grace in his eyes. And that dove there, now even a beautiful picture of God's Spirit bringing the message of peace and life through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That message that's preached by God's ministers, when the scripture says in Romans 10:15, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Then in the last verse here, and he stayed yet 7 other days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him anymore. Don't you know that I'm sure that there was fightings within, probably questions without, of those that were already in the boat with, or that were in the boat with him. How long are we going to have to stay here? Don't you? I'm sure the waters are down somewhere. Maybe we can go out. But again, I read that scripture to you that, Lord willing, we'll look at this next time. Until the Lord says it's time, it's not time. The nation of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, they're out in the wilderness, and whenever the pillar of the cloud or the pillar of fire moved, then they moved. If the pillar didn't move, they don't move. That's the safest thing to be. The hardest thing against the flesh is to wait. And that dove now has come back, and it's brought back this olive leaf that had been plucked off, and it now is sent out, and this time it says it doesn't come back. That dove now, the Lord is teaching Noah now, things are coming back. That dove was a creature of nature, and it was out in the, it was in the world, and God would take care of it. And the Lord's teaching Noah that things are going back, as it were, but the Lord's going to take care of that dove. It had been the means to teach Noah of God's mercy and grace to him, and the restraining of the waters. And now here's that bird. Behold the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? And God's going to take care of Noah. He's going to provide for Noah, but Noah's going to have to still wait on the Lord. Months and months and months. But precious months to wait on God. I can't encourage us enough. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord. All right, Ben.